In Hampshire County, West Virginia, just south of the Pennsylvania border, there's a small mountain ridge called Ice Mountain. Historical records suggest that years ago, ice could be found there even in the heat of summer. That sounds pretty good about right now. Unfortunately, it's closed to visitors this summer because of the coronavirus pandemic. You need a guide to take you. But producer Roxy Todd visited Ice Mountain a few years ago, and through the magic of radio, she's taking us along.
The hike begins at the base of Ice Mountain. Aside from the occasional car, the town of North River Mills is quiet. I'm already dripping with sweat as I enter the forest and begin the hike.
Well, this little thermometer suggests that it looks like it's about 92-ish, 93-ish.
My guides are Rodney Barchus, who recently retired from the West Virginia Nature Conservancy, and Mike Powell, who now works as the land steward for the nonprofit group.
And we're headed up to Ice Mountain, a Nature Conservancy preserve.
Visitors are allowed to hike here, but only if they're accompanied by guides. As we enter the forest, Rodney points to one recent change to Ice Mountain. Small ferns and other native plants are being crowded out by an invasive species called Japanese stiltgrass.
The natural world is changing in part because of changes that we are inadvertently making. We're making changes on purpose, and we're also making changes inadvertently, like bringing in the stiltgrass from Asia, which is now competing, and you can see it's just formed this thick carpet all over the forest floor.
He says stiltgrass is usually spread when visitors hike off the path, accidentally bringing the plant with them on their shoes or clothes. Garlic mustard and even tasty wine berries are also invasive.
They're just spreading faster than we have the ability to control them.
Which means the weeds are beginning to creep closer to the part of Ice Mountain where most of the rare plants live. Deeper into the forest, the canopy of trees grows thicker. Pine trees and rhododendron crowd the edges of the trail. There's more wildlife, too.
There's a Carolina wren singing that probably likes it because we're down near the creek. There was a few phrases from a wood thrush, a few phrases from a scarlet tanager I heard.
We hike along a creek. Ferns, white pine, and hemlock trees replace the invasive stiltgrass we saw earlier. After about 10 minutes, we pass our first ice vent. Actually, I feel it before I see it. Beside my leg, I feel a breath of cool air, like a refrigerator door is open. Then I see dozens of ice vents that vary in size. Some are as small as my hand, others I could stick my head into. It's kind of like a honeycomb with all these little holes in the hillside rocks.
And at those openings, you start to see and feel the airflow. And on a hot day like today, you can really feel a little bit of cool air being exchanged. And as Rodney mentioned, it becomes a lot more evident.
I go closer to one of the vents and put my face beside the cold air. And in a flash of inspiration, I put a can of seltzer water a few feet in to cool down. These ice vents probably formed thousands of years ago, at the end of the most recent ice age. Extreme, repeated temperature fluctuations between seasons likely cracked open the sandstone rocks in this mountain, creating crevices and holes as far as 50 feet. Rodney explains that water there freezes in the winter and is so well insulated that the mountain creates this underground refrigeration effect year-round.
In the winter, water can flow down through those rocks and kind of gets trapped, and when it's cold, it can freeze. In the cooler months, especially in the winter, cold air can also sink into those rocks.
Today, you can't find ice after April or May, but years ago, it never melted. Even in the summer.
Ice Mountain was popular as a place for people to come and make ice cream, at least until the 1920s, maybe into the 1930s.
As the years go by, Ice Mountain seems to lose its ice earlier and earlier each spring.
We're seeing change here, and what that change is associated with, you know, it could be a couple of different things, but we don't think that we're seeing ice accumulation in here as long as we did in the past.
Geologists haven't decided if climate change is responsible for the declining ice, or if it has something to do with people no longer carving out openings in the ice vents. Whatever the causes might be, the good news is that rare plants that have lived here for thousands of years are still thriving. And for now, the invasive species like garlic mustard and stiltgrass haven't moved into this part of the forest. just a few feet from the largest ice vent, are a handful of rare plants that Rodney points out.
This little plant here, some people call it dwarf dogwood, other people call it bunchberry. It is really a dogwood, but it's, again, only 3 or 4 inches tall. It has a beautiful white flower that looks just like the flowering dogwood that blooms in the spring that people are familiar with. So this is one of those northern plants that comes south through the mountains. In West Virginia, where you normally would go to see it, would be someplace like Dolly Sods or Spruce Mountain. But here it is, growing fairly commonly here around these ice vents.
There's also wild rose, partridge berry, oak fern, and a weird-sounding plant called skunk currant.
And if you put your hand down right there, you can feel, as soon as you get the hand down there, you can feel cold air coming up out of the ground where that skunk currant's living.
But the crowning jewel of Ice Mountain is the twin flower.
When it's in bloom, it'll send up a little stalk. It'll have two lovely trumpet-shaped purple flowers that dangle, and it's a very pretty plant.
When plants like twin flowers first appeared in this forest, ancient animals lived in these mountains.
The other things that were living here with the twin flower were caribou and ptarmigan, probably muskox, maybe even things like grizzly bears.
Rodney says he loves visiting places like Ice Mountain to see rare plants that mostly only grow in faraway places like Alaska or Russia, or thousands of years ago.
I get to see things that otherwise I would have to be thousands of years away in time or thousands of miles away in distance to see here in West Virginia.
Before we head back, I go to check on my can of seltzer water.
And now she pops a celebratory cold one.
It was in the name of science. Mm-hmm. The temperature inside the ice vent is in the mid-40s. My water tastes amazing. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Roxy Todd in Hampshire County, West Virginia.
Thanks to West Virginia Public Broadcasting and their podcast, Inside Appalachia, for that story.